Open up your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. That's where we're going to be tonight. As you saw in that video, we've been tracking with this through last week and this week, of course, we're looking at these soldiers, and they are regular people like you and me that have made this decision to serve in our armed forces. And before they go out into a combat zone, or before they are trained in some kind of a special training, they have to go through basic training. Every single person in the military goes through this basic training. Why? Because it's basic. You've got to know those things before you can move on. Like, you've got to know what different ranks are, and you've got to know simple things like how to do a push-up, like they were teaching that guy, right? I remember I thought when I was about your age, I was probably, I think, 13. I think I was 13, and somebody had challenged me to do push-ups against them, and they said, how many push-ups can you do? And I was like, I bet you I can do 50. And they said, yeah, I think I can do about that much. And I was like, all right, let's go. The problem was, I was doing push-ups about like this. And I was like, I thought that was a push-up. And this guy quickly made it known that is not how you do a push-up. That is nothing at all as far as a official military exercise is concerned, okay? And so they had to teach me, how do you actually do a push-up in a way that's not going to mess up your elbows and is actually going to grow muscle and things like that? Well, in a similar way, as we go through this basic training series, my hope is that you will learn some things about what it fundamentally means to be a Christian, what it actually means for you to be a member of a church. How do you go about doing the things that we talk about often, that we say, man, it's important for you to read your Bible. It's important for you to pray. It's important for you to give to God's church. Well, those are good things for us to go, yes, I understand, but how do I actually go about doing that? And so through this series, we are going to talk about how do you grow in doing these things better and better. Because as I went through high school, you know, I played sports, and push-ups were one of the things that were regularly done when I played a sport like football. And so it carried over for me to learn that one time when I was 13, because then when I was 16, guess what? I had to do a whole lot of push-ups every single week. And so it was good for me to know how to do it correctly. As a student, you are in a place where you get to learn. And so at this stage of your life, learn how to do those things well, so that as you grow up to be an adult, and as you grow up to be someone who is having to make the decisions for themselves, you will actually know how to do these things. You'll know, how do I look for a church to attend when I'm an adult? How do I go through my finances to make sure that I'm giving to God what's rightfully His and being generous with the resources He's given me? How do I study my Bible so that I actually understand what God is communicating through His Word? Now, tonight, we're going to hit one of the basics that we have to have before we get into any of these things that are about doing and about actual practices. Because before we do anything, and just like those guys, before they begun into the training, they had to actually make the decision, make the commitment. I'm going to be a soldier, and I'm going to go through this process to grow into who I need to be to join up. And so last week we talked about that we are no longer identified as sinners if we've made the commitment to follow Christ with our lives. Now we are defined as saints. And so we do not follow according to just the ways of things that we want to do. Now we are part of the army of God. Now we follow our commander. We follow Jesus Christ with our life. And so our life is going to look different. Tonight, we are going to study about one of the persons of the Trinity, which is so important for us, because Jesus says, as he's ascending into heaven and he's talking to his disciples, he tells them, I'm going to send one to you, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will come in power, and he's going to empower you to do this mission that I've called you to. So we are going to learn tonight about how it is that we follow and walk by the Spirit. So let's read in Galatians 5. Hopefully you are opened up to that passage now. We are going to read verse 1, and then we're going to move down to 13 and 14. Verse 1, it says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Then he's going to talk in the next several verses about things that separated the people out. And if you noticed that the video last week, there were all different kinds of people, different haircuts, different body builds, different skin tones, and different backgrounds of all different sorts, different expectations. They were all assimilated in the same way. And so we don't have to be divided anymore. Instead, we walk by the Spirit because Christ has set us free from a slavery, Paul says in verse 1. And then in verse 13, he says, "For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So our first point tonight that we're going to look at is that Christ has set us free from sin. And this is a quick recap from last week that we talked about this. We're no longer identified as sinners. We are now identified as saints. We are those who have been set apart by God for a special purpose. And so we no longer live as civilians like those guys. They were having to become soldiers. They were having to begin to think in different ways, do different things. I'm pretty sure they didn't just wake up a week before that and say, "I'm going to take a big duffel bag full of stuff, carry it above my head, and run up and down a hill a few times." I don't think that they were doing that just for fun, right? It was part of their training. It was something that was specific to their identity now as becoming a soldier. And he says here that Christ has set us free, so stand firm and do not submit to a yoke of slavery. Now, by a yoke, he's not talking about part of an egg. He's talking about something that they would put on an oxen or a donkey or something like that in order to carry some kind of a load or enable to do some kind of hard labor. And so he's saying, do not submit yourself again to this yoke, this slavery of sin. Christ has paid for you and me to be free from sin and free from that bondage. There's an interesting story that I read about recently of in the Revolutionary War. You guys have studied that in school before, right? Probably like half a dozen times. Like every year you hit on it again, right? So in the Revolutionary War, there were lots of slaves here in America. And one of the strategies that the different armies had, the Americans and the British tried to employ this strategy of recruiting new soldiers. And what they did was they said, to anyone who is a slave who will enlist in our army, we will pay their master a fair amount, and then that slave will be free after they serve in the military. There was a movie that I saw that had this in it once, and the guy had joined up into the military for the colonials. He's fighting for this whole year, going through all kinds of hard things. And then, you know, he gets to this final battle in the movie, and the guy next to him says, "You know, it's been a year. Your time of, like, having to serve, your requirement is done." And he says, "I know. I'm here now on my own accord. See, he understood that there was a cause, something important that he was getting to be part of. He had been set free, and now he was not using his freedom just as something selfish, that he was like, well, I'm free now. I can go do whatever I want to, right? Instead, he says, no, I'm going to use my freedom for something that's valuable, for something that matters, for this idea of America to come true. People like him had to work at it and had to use their freedom to serve that cause. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ has died in order that we may be free from the bondage of sin. And so Paul is writing here saying, don't just use your freedom that Jesus has set you free from sin and go back to it again. Don't go re-enslave yourself. That's silly. What slave would go back and re-enslave? You know, I think what, you know, I'm free, but I think I'll go back. You know, that terrible life, that's for me. That's what I want. Nobody would say that, right? You're free. So he says, use your freedom, that no longer do we have to be so concerned about, all right, am I following the law? Am I keeping up with all the rules? No, he says, man, all that stuff is summed up in a real quick statement. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus has set us free, so we don't have to be so worried and caught up about keeping all the laws. Instead, we can filter our life through thinking, am I living in a way that I'm loving the people around me? Am I doing a good job of that? So it can be something as simple as when we're in here playing before Lyft, am I being reckless and just throwing the ball wherever, kicking the ball wherever, shattering glass on top of people, hitting people as they walk in the door? I mean, am I just being reckless? Okay, well, if we are, that's probably not doing what Jesus has set us free to do. Instead, that's going back into just, well, it's all about me. It's if I'm having fun. No, let's use that freedom as an opportunity to love others, to filter our lives and think, is what I'm doing actually loving someone else? Now, how do we overcome this sin? This sin, if Jesus has set us free from it, now it's trying to pull us back in. How do we not fall for that? And this is a picture of those guys back in that day. I thought it was really funny. Man, our military uniforms have upgraded so much. But how do we overcome sin? Okay, here is how we're going to do this, according to Paul. We overcome sin by choosing to follow the Spirit, not the flesh. We overcome sin by choosing to follow the Spirit, not the flesh. Let's read on. In chapter 5 here, in verse 16, he says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. This is point A underneath it. The Spirit and the flesh are opposed to one another. The Spirit and the flesh are opposed to one another. They are rivals. They hate each other. What the Spirit desires for us to do, sin desires the exact opposite. Because what is sin? It is a corruption of God's design for us. That's why there's so many things that, I mean, it's not bad for me to pick up a bag and take it home, but it is if it's Owen's and I don't have his permission. That is stealing, right? But there's a bag that I own, and I can take that home, okay? So it's not that the thing itself is bad. It's what is going on there. And there is a corruption in our desires because we are born with this sin nature. And the sin nature does not call us to do the things that we would want to do if we were following God. Instead, it tries to pull us away. It tries to draw us in. He uses this phrase, to walk by the Spirit. And the way that he's saying this is like, walk by means of the Spirit. And this is somewhat important, because if you can imagine someone who is unable to walk on their own and they are trying to get somewhere, if they, a football player breaks his leg in the game, he can't just like walk back off the field. He has to walk by means of other people. And so others come and gather around him, and he leans on them. He depends on them. He trusts in them, and he walks by the power of this other person. And so it is for us to stop resisting the Spirit and to begin walking by the power of the Spirit. Because on our own, we desire these things that are at odds against the Spirit of God. He says, these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. So he says, you're not, if you are saved, if you're walking by the Spirit, you're not caught up in all of those rules. And this was a common thing for the early church. They were trying to figure out, because Christianity had come right out of Judaism, okay? The Jewish faith, the Old Testament that we have. And so they were trying to figure out, we've got all of these laws. Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So do we have to keep all of those laws? And so as I have mentioned before to my guys in Journey Group, one of the things that I love is that God gave Peter a vision and helped him to see that, guess what? This whole thing about the unclean animals, that's not for you guys anymore. You don't have to worry about that. So bacon's on the table. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about that, okay? Bacon's good. So here's the thing. Jesus fulfilled all the ceremonial laws, all the governmental laws, all of the moral laws that we had to obey. He's done all of those. Now we follow God in walking according to what his Spirit leads us to do. And the Spirit leads us in a way that is very different than the flesh. If you think about this, he speaks in ways of putting on and taking off in the book of Ephesians. He says to put on the new self. And so this obviously is it's a camo hat, but this is not a military camo hat, correctly? This is an amazing camo hat. Fantastic. I know all of you are big chump chump, especially Miss Courtney in the back. Yeah, she's our resident Seminole. She and I are opposed on football about as much as the flesh and the Spirit. So I will take the position of the Spirit, and I'll leave Courtney to pick. But if we are to take off the old man and living by the flesh, we take that off, okay? Yeah. Now, hold on. Yeah. Hold on. Because it is camo, right? It is camo. Yeah. Now, I can choose to go full on and really live in the flesh, which is what he was talking about. He was saying going back into slavery, right? And y'all are all like, oh, that's terrible, okay? But instead, he reminds us to live according to our new identity, okay? This is a nice little camo hat, all right? So, this is how we are. And look, you don't wear a hat to sleep. Every day you got to put it back on, right? You got to put your hat back on. And so every day, and listen, multiple times throughout the day, you've got to make the decision, am I going to put on kind of an appearance of following Jesus, but not really? Am I going to just, like, people wouldn't know that I was a Christian at all and would just, you know, you're terrible? Or can people tell, yeah, that guy, he follows Jesus Christ. He walks by the Spirit. Okay, so we have to be intentional in following the Spirit of God. Now, how do we go about doing this? Well, we've got to do this by actually learning. We've got to do this by actually learning the words of God, because Jesus says that the Spirit will come and he will remind you of all the things that I have said. Now, to remind you means that you heard it at one point, and now it's being brought up again in your memory. So the Spirit's not going to put something in your heart and say, hey, Brandon, remember John 8:5. That's really important in this decision that you have to make. And then Brandon's like, man, that clears up everything. Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, so the Spirit's not going to put something on your mind, but what will happen is if you are spending the time to follow God, to fill yourself with his word, if you fill yourself with his word, he will bring back into your memory the things of God that apply in a situation and will lead you in how to walk by the Spirit. Now, the second thing that you need to see here is the life lived by the flesh produces deeds that dishonor God. This is what sin is at its core. And this is how we live if we are not choosing to walk by the Spirit. If we are not choosing to walk by the Spirit, we will live according to our own desires. And these desires are corrupted from what they should be because of sin. And so what ends up happening is that we live in an identity which is different than what our true identity is in Christ. I heard a story once of a logging truck. You guys have seen those? Let me skip real quick. Don't take this. Don't take any of these notes. Skip. All right, logging truck. All right, a logging truck carries thousands and thousands of pounds of timber, right? And there was this guy once who was late for work. He got in and was like, oh, boss, I'm so sorry I'm late. I was on my way here. You'll never believe this. I was on my way here, and I realized my tire was flat. And the boss is like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And he says, yeah, it was terrible. I had to pull over on the side of the road, get out the jack up the car, take the tire off, and as I was going to put the spare tire on, I realized the original tire was rolling down the freeway. And the boss is like, oh my gosh, what did you do? Like, the tire's just rolling away. You've got to go get that so you can get a new one. And he says, yeah, so that's exactly what I thought. I went, oh my goodness, I've got to go and get this tire. And so he runs down after the tire, and the tire goes into another lane, and he runs over after it. And as he turns around to go back to his car, he says, I got hit by a logging truck right then. Boom. And the boss is like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Because here's the thing about logging trucks. If you're on a freeway, you run out into the road and a logging truck hits you, it leaves a significant impact, right? Yeah. It's not going to be a good thing. And so the boss says, that's a lie. The guy says, no way. Are you calling me a liar? And he says, yes, because there's no way you could be hit by something as big as a logging truck and walk away from it, unchanged, unscathed. Here's the thing. If you have a genuine run-in with Jesus Christ, he's going to leave such a significant impact in you that you will be changed in a way that is more evident than if you got hit by a logging truck. That there should be a day and night difference over the course of your life of, here was my life before I met Jesus, where I followed my own desires, I did what I wanted to do, I was in charge, and there was a time where I surrendered my life to Jesus, whether it was a moment that you can look back at and go, that's when it was, or if you realize that over a period of time that you surrendered your life to Jesus, that you are impacted and changed, and that people can see it around you. You should be able to see that. Now, here's the thing. Paul writes down, he says, to walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. This is what that list was here. Let me skip ahead. All right. So there's four categories here. There's a whole list, but it breaks down into four categories. The first one is physical sins. So these are sins that we can do physically, right? He involves works of the flesh, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, all of these things that we can take our body and say, this is my body, it belongs to me, I can do with it whatever I want to. And as you grow up, you will hear this through the news, you will hear this from your friends, you will hear this in pop culture, that you are the one in charge of your body, you get to call the shots, and you are the only one who can tell you what to do. This is a lie for the follower of Christ. This is a lie. Because the Bible tells us that you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God with your body. So we can't just say it's mine, because Jesus died to buy it out of sin, to free us from sin. So now we follow him. The second one is religious sins. Religious sins. Now, religion, you can think of, okay, he mentions here idolatry, so obviously worshiping some kind of little tiki god made out of gold or something, or if you think of in the Bible, the people of Israel supposedly threw gold into a fire and a calf jumped out and they worshiped it. Yeah, uh-huh. They fashioned an idol and they worshiped a false god. And so he warns against that, not to commit idolatry. Here's the thing. We often commit idolatry in less like spectacles, like less obvious means. We don't have a little guy that we like bow down to, and you have a little statue in your room, maybe, and you're like, okay, I got that. That's not my sin. I'm easy. But there's other things that we idolize. There's people that we idolize. There's things like video games, things like our phones, things like sports, things like friends. I mean, there's all kinds of other things we can idolize and give the number one priority in our life above our relationship with Christ. So we've got to be careful not to fall into these religious sins. He also mentions sorcery, which of course is going to be working with the demonic powers which are opposed to God, and trying to do things to influence the world by power of Satan and his domain. And so Paul warns against that. Then he gives this third different area, and he says relational sins. We can have sins in our relationships, how we relate to one another. So we can disobey our parents, or we can be disrespectful of some kind of authority. We can take advantage of someone else's generosity. We can do just all sorts of things. I mean, he's using such broad terms because he doesn't want to just narrow in on these few things, because what would happen? We'd stop walking by the Spirit, and we walk by a checklist instead. We'd say, well, I did that, did that, did that. I must be walking by the Spirit. No, these are examples he's giving. So relational sins. He says we can have relational sins of impurity, sensuality, these fits of anger. So when you just burst out in anger at a sibling or a friend, that is a relational sin. When we have rivalries, dissension, and divisions, and this isn't, I'm not talking about like, okay, sports rivalries, like me and Miss Courtney were kind of joking about a minute ago, where it's like, we love to beat FSU, and FSU loves to try and beat us, but it never happens anymore. You know, who knows? We have fun rivalries. This is talking about people you actually, like, hold hatred for. And I think if you took the time, you might be able to think of someone right now that you would consider this way, but most of us in our life have either had this person before or you're going to have this person in the future. And there are people that we say, I never want to be on a team with them. I don't want to be in a class with them. As a matter of fact, they can just like fall off the face of the earth and I'd be totally fine with that. But here's the thing. Sometimes we're going to be so upset that this is how we feel about people, and it is not doing what he talked about back in verse 14, that the whole law is fulfilled in one word of loving our neighbor as ourself. So we have relational sins that we have to be careful of. The final thing, I just call it self-indulgent. Self-indulgent. He uses things like envy, which is wanting what someone else has and being upset about it, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. So he's saying things that are just like what you want. Kind of going back to the beginning a little bit and reminding them, look, it's not about just living life up, best life now kind of thing. And yet again, this is what the world is going to put out there, and it's not something new. They're just showing it in different ways and advertising it in different ways. They just didn't say, live your best life now in 50 AD. But this is what Paul had to remind them of, is it's not about me and you. It's about not just keeping a task list. Rather, it's walking by the Spirit because of this third point. The life lived by the Spirit produces fruit that honors God. So when we see walking by the flesh ends up leading to deeds which dishonor God, do not hold him up as the most important in our life, that kind of show him in the wrong light to the rest of the world. If we walk by the Spirit, what ends up happening is that we will show the world who God is and what it really means to follow him rightly. And so this is what God has called us to do. Walk by the Spirit. And he says, you will produce fruit. And this is good fruit. This is, and I'm not talking about apples and oranges here. He gives a description. And the word that is used here, Pastor Keith loves to talk about this passage. He loves to explain that in the original language, and we see it here in a simple way, it says the word fruit. Now, we can say a bowl of fruit. I mean that there's several different fruits there. But he's saying a fruit that the Spirit produces in you something. And here is what that something looks like. And he gives a list of several descriptions. Look down in verse 22 and 23. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he adds on, against these things there is no law. You see, Christians, during this time when Paul is writing, this many people think is during a time of a little bit of persecution that was going on, and it was actually in this part of the world. Now, it wasn't necessarily in Galatia, the city, but it was going on in the world that Christians were being rumored about. Because we talk about things like eating the body of Christ when we talk about taking the Lord's Supper. And people thought, those Christians are cannibals. That's what they thought. It was really weird. Or they thought, you know, they call each other brother and sister. And they greet each other with a kiss. That's weird, you know. And they didn't get that when we talk about each other as brother and sister, that we are family in Christ. And that was a common greeting in the Middle East during that time, to kiss each other on the cheek. And that's a common thing even to this day in parts of the world. And so they thought all kinds of weird things, but he's saying, look, this fruit that the Spirit produces in you, there's nothing against the law in this. If you want to know what it looks like for you to follow after Christ, this is the kind of person you are to be, to have love for one another, to have joy, to have a peace, to live peaceably with others, not to be going into all of these things. If you notice one at a time, you can see that the fruit the Spirit produces in us, like you said, is in direct opposition to the flesh. So he says, if we walk by the Spirit, we will honor God. Look down here for our third point. We become spiritually mature as we learn to choose to follow the Spirit, not the flesh. Because we are saved and our salvation is secure not in how well we follow Jesus and how much we depend on the Spirit. It's secure in what Christ has done on the cross. But as we live out our lives, we have the opportunity to grow, to produce this fruit in our lives. And you will grow to be more spiritually mature, not as you learn more Bible verses and you can be like, I know the most Bible verses of anybody in the world. Look, you can memorize the entire Bible in 50 different translations and not be a spiritually mature person. To be a spiritually mature person, to grow in that, means that you are actively choosing to walk according to the Spirit of God rather than according to your own desires. And so we get this idea in verse 24 through 26. It says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. He uses strong language there. He uses the crucifixion picture that we see that Jesus died by. And so he says, your desires, if you are a follower of Christ, you've got to nail them to the cross. They've got to be totally dead to you. And as we live, we're learning how to do that better and better, to nail that to the cross and say, Jesus died to free me from that. And we leave it there. And he says in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So we don't go, wow, that guy is really spiritually mature. I want to be spiritually mature like that guy. Man, God, why won't you just let me be as spiritually mature as that guy or that girl? No, we don't hold that against someone. We don't envy someone else. You don't know what their life has looked like, what they've had to go through. But here's the thing. God desires you to grow. He desires for his work to accomplish transformation in your life that would be more evident than a logging truck hitting you. And so as you grow in your life, you learn to walk by the Spirit. Now, I have a little bit of a demonstration here that me and Mr. Rob are going to attempt. We have minimal experience. So here's how this is going to work. You guys have seen Simon Says before, right? Okay. Now, here's the thing. In the military, it's not Simon Says, it's Sergeant Says, all right? And so in the military, when your sergeant, as you guys saw in that video, when he says something, you do it. You lift the bag, you run up the hill, you don't ask questions, you say, yes, sergeant. Now, one of the things you also learn to do in the military or in band in high school is marching. Marching is one of the things that is very difficult because when you march, there's a lot of people in a very tight space. And so if somebody gets off, everything can get real messed up real fast. You got 50 people, you got 500 people that are all marching through like this much space in like a 30-second span. Everybody better be on the exact same step. Now, me and Mr. Rob have not practiced very much, but he served in the Marines, and I was a volunteer in Civil Air Patrol. Not the exact same thing at all. So, but I did learn how to march from our very short talk before lift tonight. We realized that the Marines call commands very differently than the Air Force does. So this is going to be a unique experience. I'm going to give the illustration before we do the example. If you walk by the Spirit, he says, keep in step with the Spirit. That means as the Spirit leads us to obey our parents, to honor authorities, to show kindness, to be patient, all of these things, as he leads us, we have the opportunity. Do I do what he has commanded, or do I do my own thing? And I can intentionally obey what Mr. Rob's going to tell me to do here in a minute, or I can kind of accidentally do it because I haven't grown in the same way that he desires for me to know how to do this. So if we end up doing it great, it's because both of us happen to be able to work this out. But here's the thing, like I said, spiritual maturity comes as you practice this out daily, as you're filling yourself with the Word of God, as you're spending time hearing instruction at a local church. That is how God desires to grow into you so that the Spirit, when he calls out those commands, you know exactly what to do. So we're going to attempt this back here. You guys will see how well this does or does not work, and it'll be great. All right, where do you want me to stand?
Detail. Attention. Hup. By the left flank. March.
All right, so something like that. So, yes, and we will teach you all how to do this next week, all right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to, we'll teach you, but I doubt that you want to. All right, so to wrap up real quick, one of the things you may have noticed, okay, in marching is you're constantly checking to see if you are in time with the person next to you. Maybe you have someone who's calling out the cadence and you can hear left, 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 right, and you know that's what I'm supposed to do. And so when he says left, boom, my left foot's got to hit the ground at that moment. If I'm off, what ends up happening is the guy behind me steps on my foot and then I trip and I knock into the guy next to me. He falls over, hits the guy with the flag. The guy with the flag stabs someone. We have to go to the hospital. It's terrible. And we were just marching around. Yeah, it's bad. Now, that's kind of a silly example. But here's the thing. Listen, if you're walking by the Spirit, listen, God is going to lead you in how you ought to live. He's going to prompt you with the commands as you've read his word and as you're growing in your knowledge of it. If Mr. Rob had called out some kind of a command that I had no idea about, guess what? I was going to be in a heap of trouble because I wouldn't know if he said half column left march. I'd be like, oh, which, how much is that? You know, I'd be really messed up. So here's the thing. We've got to know God's word. And this is what we're going to talk about next week. So next week, I want you to come in ready to learn about why we need to know God's word, what it is, why we don't. Like, there's all kinds of other books that didn't make it in the Bible. Did you guys know that?
No.
There's like all kinds of other books that didn't make it in the Bible. I'll share a little bit about why they didn't make it in the Bible, what the qualifications are. But you've got to know God's word. You've got to know God's word. So when the Spirit prompts you with something, hey, go show kindness to that guy and go sit with him at lunch. Go invite that person to come with you to church today. Hey, why don't you go and share your lunch money with that person over there? As the Spirit decides to prompt you to do things, that you will be in time. You will learn how to do that. And that is how a soldier becomes more mature, is by practicing, by learning, and we will become more mature in our faith by learning and practicing what God has told us to do. So I want to challenge you this week to begin relying on God. Begin asking God, God, help me to know what it is that you want me to do. And when I'm in a situation where I can do something that pleases you, that is walking by the Spirit, prompt me to do that. And if you're praying that, my experience and many other people's experience and God's word says that if you're praying according to the will of God, that he is happy to do those things. God is happy to lead us in how we ought to live our lives. We just have to submit and surrender to him. So start to do that this week in your prayer time, and we'll come back together next week and learn a little bit about studying his word. Let me pray for you. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to study this amazing passage. As we come back together on Sunday, help us to have great discussion from our track books, from our journey group notes tonight. Lord, let our discussion be pleasing to you and something that you would guide us through by way of your Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.